Well, good morning. Give the Lord a giant shout if you love Jesus this morning. Amen. 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 Well, how was your weekend so far? Good? Are you blessed? If you're blessed, everyone blessed? All right. All right. We see a lot of people back with us from surgery. Good to see my friend back there. God's doing a work in his body, healing and restoring. But I want to welcome everyone this morning. If you're new with us, thanks for being here. It's an honor to have you. You could have gone to multiple places to worship, but you chose to worship here with us at Southtowns, and thank you for that. Today's special day. We are doing a series on doors and how God is opening doors and closing doors, inviting us to walk through doors, inviting us to stay away from certain doors, trying to lead us away from them. And so we are in the beginning of a series, the second week, and a lot of things are happening. Our first service, we had great ministry. People were just really desiring for Jesus to become their shepherd in a greater dimension. And so today we're not going to hold anything back. We're going to get real. We're going to continue to be authentic. It may get uncomfortable, but sometimes when we're uncomfortable, that's when we grow, right? We talk about things we really don't want to talk about because it challenges us and it pushes us and it does so many things in us. And we're like, but no, God, no, that's how we grow. And so we're gonna stay with that today. And, you know, we all walk through doors all the time. We walk through doors constantly. Doors in our home. We walk through doors in our workplaces. Doors are a very common part of our everyday life, right? And thank God we have doors, because doors are also things that we can stand behind for protection. We can use them to guard intruders or things that may be trying to attack, but also understand that doors are a barrier that stand between us and entrance into something else. We need to understand that there are doors that God wants to open that we can have entrance into the area or the arena that he wants to place us in. I don't know about you, but me in life, I walked through doors on my own ability, and it didn't turn out too good. Anyone ever do that? You walk through a door, and you're like, oh, this looks great. This is, and all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, what am I doing in here? See, when we allow Christ to be in control, we allow Jesus to rule and reign. He gives us discernment. He gives us the ability to hear him. When we go to a door, we come to a place where a door needs to be opened or closed to either step in or to walk away. Because some doors, you know, are only one-way doors. And sometimes we're forcing ourselves in a door that doesn't open the way we're trying to go into, right? That's a sign. But today, we're going to talk about Jesus being the door of our eternal salvation. But also in the same set of verses I will read to you, he then says, I am also the good shepherd. So when you and I walk through the door of salvation, we walk through the door of covenant relationship with Jesus, he then becomes the shepherd of our lives. And this is where it might get a little sticky today. Because a shepherd helps rule and reign over the sheep. They lead, they guide, they protect. They do all that is needed to make sure the sheep are taken care of. And sometimes it's not easy. And so we're going to talk about that today. You want to talk about that today? Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't we open up to the book of John, the 10th chapter. And I just want to share just a few verses with you today. Were you blessed with worship this morning? Amen. Were you blessed with worship? We have a lot of new things going to be happening with our worship team over the next few months. And so they'll see a lot of switching and changing of things going on up here. It's going to be awesome. Thank you, Kristen. Kristen sang all weekend. And I know she's been feeling a little under the weather. She really was a trooper through the women's conference with Phil and her husband. And they did a fabulous job. And they were back this morning. And so just a great time this weekend. And so, and I believe that it's going to carry over right now. So everyone there, John chapter 10. All right, here's what the word says. It says in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He says, I'm the door. I'm the doorway of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. There's that churchy term that, you know, those crazy spirit-filled believers, oh, I got saved in church on Sunday. What that means is we came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We chose to pray. We chose to choose him as our Lord and Savior, and we asked for forgiveness, and we repented of the sin, and we turned, and we're making a conscious decision to turn from that and to turn to Jesus and the things of the Word and the things of God and walk in that dimension. And so it's a churchy term that some people get all weirded out about, you know, especially like, you know, if you don't know what it means, like, I've been saved, I've been washed with the blood of Jesus. You know, yeah, people get all wigged out about it. What it really means is that I chose today to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. And he says, I am the door, and if anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will come into a covenant relationship. He will spend eternity with the Father. And he will go in and out, and he will find pasture. But the thief, he does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life. But see, God doesn't want you just to have life, because the Word says he wants you to have life abundantly.
Amen.
I always fall back on this. You know, he doesn't want it just to go through life and be like, yeah, it's life. You know, he wants it to be full. He wants a fullness to your life. He wants it to be exciting and adventurous. He wants to bless you. And in the process of blessing, he wants to also maybe discipline and correct. And he wants to build you up. He doesn't want to tear you down. He wants to lift you up. He wants to encourage you. And he says, I want you to have this life and more abundantly. And then he says this. Now that you're all set with this relationship, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lies down his life for the sheep. But he who is the hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Verse 13, the hired hand runs away because he's the hired hand and does not care about the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. Father, I thank you for today's word. I thank you, God, for every transformed life today. I thank you that you will challenge us. I thank you that you will lay before us, God, the importance of you being our shepherd, of you walking in every arena and every area of our lives today. We give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. And so I just want to just talk just for a couple seconds in that first part of Jesus being the door, because we have to make sure that everybody knows Jesus as Lord and Savior and give you that opportunity to know him, because that's the first foundation, that's the first step of building the foundation on a life of Jesus, is having Jesus a part of the life. And so Jesus says, listen, I'm the door, I'm the way in. He says, you know, the thieves and the robbers, they're not the way. See, the false prophets and the people who come under the guise of God Almighty, they're not the way. The way to eternity with God Almighty is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, according to what the Bible says, according to what we believe as Christians, as believers in this faith, the way to eternity and the way to spend eternity is through Jesus Christ alone. We hear and we see all around us, well, what if we take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and mix this belief together with that belief together? We can all just coexist and spend eternity in heaven with God Almighty. No, it's not going to work that way. Really? Not according to the Word of God. Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. I know you lost an hour, but say Jesus. All right. Jesus is the way to the Father. Pastor Tommy is not the way to the Father. Christian is not the way to the Father. Phil and Kristen are not the way. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the doorway to eternity. He's the doorway to restoration. He's the doorway to everything that you and I need to live life and to live life abundantly. See, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes to bring life and give life. And so before we talk about him being our shepherd, we need to make sure that we open the door and we step into this covenant relationship with him. What's amazing is that the thieves and the robbers, the false prophets, and those who come under the name of God, they tell you just enough truth to catch you, and then they twist it. They take the black and white word of God, and they turn it to a shade of gray. Right? But Jesus said, oh, no. My sheep know the difference between the voices. The way we know the difference between the voices of the robbers and the thieves is in the covenant relationship with God, because we begin to build a relationship with them. Listen, if I am standing here and I hear a bunch of people yelling in the atrium, and I all of a sudden in the midst of that I hear my wife's voice, I guarantee you I could pick my wife's voice out from the atrium. Why? Because I am in covenant relationship with her. We communicate. We spend time together. She tells me everything that I need to know in life. She tells me if I match or if I don't match. She tells me it's time to get that little bit of hair you got on your head cut this week because it's starting to stick out in a multitude of directions. She tells me how awesome and amazing I am. That's what you, so I hear the voice all the time. And so I can just be distinctive between her voice and Kristen's voice. Totally, totally different. Why? Because I have this relationship. And that's why God says, when you have this relationship with me and the thieves and the robbers and the false prophets and everybody else comes and tries to pull you away, you hear their voices and you don't listen to them. You say, oh, no, that's not the voice of God. And so we need to start here. So do you, or have you? Last week I showed you that amazing picture of Jesus. You know the one where he's knocking at the door that's in everybody's grandmother's house, right? You know the one, right? Doesn't have a doorknob because Jesus is going to open the door. He's waiting for you on the other side to open the door. He's not going to kick the door down and force himself into your house and onto you and make you become a child or a son and daughter of his. He's just waiting patiently, knocking. So persistent, won't go away. Just will not leave. Just keeps knocking, wanting you, going after you. Done because he has so much love and affection for you. See, when you open the door and you respond to the persistent knock and the patient knock of Jesus because he loves you so much, when you open the door and you come into this relationship with Jesus, he now becomes or should become our shepherd. We don't just walk into the house and be like, okay, God, I'm here. Now there's more to it. See, that's why it should be more than just a decision. We shouldn't just become decisions. We actually should become disciples. We make a decision to pray the prayer. We make a decision to become a son or daughter of God. We make a decision. We ask God to be a part of our lives. But then it doesn't just stop there. It has to now have a process. And that process is about growth. And that process is about becoming a disciple of God. And so now I'm in the house. And Jesus is in here. And now I have to take the next steps because I need to know the voice and understand the voice and begin this process. Well, what helps in the process is making sure that Jesus is at our side as our shepherd as we go through this thing called life. How many of you work? How many of you have a job? Okay. All right. How many of you have kids? All right. How many of you have bills? How many of you shop in the local stores? How many of you shop on Amazon? Everything I mentioned, we can have Christ leading and guiding us, making sure that we're making the right decisions, doing the right things, being a part of the whole movement of things happening. And see, there are three areas in life, three stages that we all go through. And I want to talk about this before I tell you what a shepherd is, because hopefully it'll give you a better understanding. I guarantee you, guarantee, 100% guarantee, this is truth right now. Every one of us in this room is at one of these three levels in life. The first level. We are walking life, and we right now are experiencing a mountaintop experience. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that some of us in this place, life is amazing. There is not an issue. The kids are angels. There's no arguing between husbands and wives. There's no disagreements at work. You know, every bill has been paid 2 months in advance. You got a little extra money you've been putting in the college fund. Everything you seem to touch or everything you seem to do just seems to be full of blessing and things are moving. You actually feel like you're just spinning and just floating everywhere because it's like, how's life? Oh, it's beautiful. Some of us are there right now. If you are there right now, celebrate. Get excited. Let people know what's going on. It's a great time to be on the mountaintop. It's awesome. Oh, none of you are on the mountaintop. All right, good. We'll get you there today. Because the first step I've already given you to get to the mountaintop is Jesus. But we'll get you there. But hang on. There's also a group of people that are in the valley. Now, the valley is not the fun place. The valley is the place where you're just miserable. You're grumpy. Nothing goes right. You go to start the car, you got a dead battery. You go get in your car, you start driving, you realize that your child drove your car and ran all your gas to empty. Right? You ever been there before? Right? You just seem that every time you and your kids or you and your wife or you and the co-workers at work talk, there's always a disagreement. There's an argument. It's just not fun. It just seems like anything you touch fails. It seems like anything that you hear is negative. You just are not happy. You're in the valley. Celebrate that you're in the valley. What do you mean, Pastor? Because I'm going to talk to you because there's a lot of good things that can happen in the valley. Or you're in this phase of life. You've had the mountaintop experience, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, something's changing here. It's not as easy as it was. The blessings aren't coming, and there's some disgruntled things happening, and you're on the journey down to the valley. Or you got breakthrough. And all of a sudden, you're climbing to the mountaintop. We are in one of those three phases of life. But I say that because no matter what phase we're in, we need a shepherd to help us. See, because the shepherd would take the sheep from the valley and climb to the mountain. The shepherd was always taking the sheep to greener pastures, to better water, to making sure that the provision for the sheep was being met. And so that's why we need Jesus. See, understand this, and I know before we go any farther, some of you are like, but why as believers do we have to be in the valley? I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I should never have a valley experience. I should never have a climbing experience. I should always be on the mountaintop. I'm going to be very profound with you today on this. Because we have valley experiences because we live in a fallen world. John 16, verse 33. Jesus himself said this. You will have trouble in life. The question is, what do we do with the trouble? What do we do in the valley? How do we handle it? What do we do with it? How do we navigate through it? See, valleys are, they're impartial. Valleys don't care who you are. They don't care if you're rich. They don't care if you're dirt poor. They don't care if you drive it, have your own car. They don't care if you take public transportation. They don't care if you have a college degree, a high school GED, or you are totally uneducated. They don't care if you live in a big house or you rent an apartment. They don't care if you live in New York State or if you live in Oklahoma. They don't care what your nationality is. They don't care what school you went to. They don't care if you have kids or don't have kids. They're impartial. But the fact of the matter is we will experience a valley. That's why we need a shepherd. That's why we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd to help us walk through life. They're unavoidable. But in the valley, they're a powerful place to grow. Especially when Jesus is walking side by side with us. See, in the valley, we can become bitter, or we can become better. In the valley, we can become weaker, or we can be stronger. See, when I used to be in the valley all alone, I was miserable. Why do I gotta be here? God, you know what? I prayed that you would help me out, and I was just moping and miserable. I would be so miserable sometimes. My wife would just look at me like, who are you right now? Do you ever see those movies where the person just changes, like right in front of the person? You know, the head spins around. It's like, who is this guy? Blaming everybody for being in the valley. Blaming every circumstance and situation. But I came to understand that I have Jesus living in me, and I have the Holy Spirit housed within me. Why am I so darn miserable then? Because the greatest thing that I know that I have beyond this place is eternal salvation with the Father. That in itself, as we heard yesterday, is a treat. Is a treat for all, it's a treat, right? And so why am I so darn miserable? So I decided that when I get into a valley, I'm not going to make it miserable. Because I decided that when I'm in a valley, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look up. Yeah. Instead of laying on my face, moaning and groaning and pounding on the ground, why? No, I'm going to look up. Because my solution to get out of the valley is above me. And his name is Jesus. He'll give me the solution. He'll give me the necessary tools to get climbing back to the top. But he'll also give me the strength to have the perseverance to climb out of the valley. Amen. See, I made a decision that I'm not going to look at the circumstance around me and let it control me anymore, because the shepherd will guide me through what I need to be guided through. And so I say all that to say this. Do you have a shepherd in your life? Now, that's an easy, there's a church question. Some of you are like, yeah, Pastor, I got a shepherd in my life, and his name is Jesus. He's all in my life, Pastor. Yes, he is. He is. Come on now. We need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. I need the shepherd. See, I don't need a shepherd. I need the shepherd. There's a difference. There's a huge difference, right? See, because we can allow people to try to shepherd us or take that role of Jesus. It only leads us down the wrong path. But we need the shepherd, Jesus. David knew it so well when he wrote the 23rd Psalm, didn't he? Didn't he? He knew exactly what the shepherd would do. And this is our meat of the message today, is that when you allow Jesus to shepherd you, when you allow Jesus, do y'all know what a shepherd does, by the way? We have any shepherds in the house? Are you a shepherd? No? You're a shepherd? To your kids, all right. God bless you. Lord, give you the strength to do that. She said, I'm a shepherd of my kids. So true. God has given her those beautiful gifts, entrusted her with those amazing children, and has given her the responsibility to make sure that she's doing what is needed to raise them according to the Word of God and the way God wants them to be raised up. But shepherds in the natural, I asked that question too because we did have someone who used to raise alpacas, you know, that whole farm of alpacas, and that's a whole different thing in itself. But a shepherd is really a caretaker. Did you know that? See, he's a caretaker. He tends and takes care of the sheep. He watches over them. He guards them. He protects them. He also takes them to get fed and finds places of greener pastures to make sure that what they're eating is the best things for them to be eating. He takes them to the right pools of water, to the right streams of water that they get their total nutrients from. See, a shepherd protects them. Did you know that shepherds would actually lay in front of the sheep gate and become the door in and out because they cared that much about the sheep? And did you know that if a sheep or one sheep ran away, the shepherd would go and hunt and find that particular one to bring them back to the fold? Did you know that a shepherd, when the sheep was too weak and not strong enough, the shepherd would pick the sheep up? Now get this visual and put it on his shoulders and carry it and tend to it until it got strong enough, and then would then put it back down and then begin to continue to tend it as it would grow and to become older. Did you know that a shepherd, do you see where we're going with this? Right? Anyone need to get greener pastures? Anyone need to get fresh water? Anyone need to get rest and find rest? Anyone feel weak where they need to be picked up and to be nurtured back to get their full strength? That's what a shepherd does. And the greatest shepherd you and I will ever know, his name is Jesus.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. And so I love you, Tammy, so much. You are so, so excited about Jesus. You know what? I got to give you this, girl. I just want you to wave this, too, because I just want you to... You got to work this for me today, okay?
You gotta work. When you get excited, you shout amen. You shout, you do that, shout amen. You wave it, you do what you gotta do, girl. You be you. You be you, Tammy. Do you know why she's like that? I'll tell you why Tammy's like that. Because Tammy came into her, walked through the door of salvation with Jesus. And she had a true encounter with God. And this woman is not the same woman you would have known 10 years ago. God did a transforming thing in her life. And she's so unashamed of her Lord and Savior. She can care less what someone thinks about her. She can care less if you in here say, why is she always yelling amen? Why is she always clapping and standing up? Because she's so excited because she tasted and saw and she's experienced what God has done in her life. She's excited. So we need a shepherd. We need to allow the shepherd to work in our lives. Let's look at Psalm 23. Let's look at verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Two things that jump out to me in this passage. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, David is writing that there's a connection between me and the Father. There's a relationship. He is mine, and I am his. See, that's the first step in allowing him to shepherd our lives, is that connection, that relationship, that he is mine, and I am his. See, and then he says, I shall have all that I need. Now, there's a difference between having all that you need and all that you want. Because I had a conversation with God one time trying to explain to him why I needed a speedboat. No joke. As a youth pastor, you always want to do better things. You always want to do cooler things than the other youth groups. I had a conversation with God and why our youth ministry needed a Hummer, the H1, the original like army type one. And I had the dialogue like this, God, listen, if you give this to me, I'm going to paint it cool colors. We're going to put our logos all over it. We're going to put Jesus all over it. And I could use it to pick teenagers up from school and take them out to coffee and lunch. And as soon as I roll on campus, whatever school it may be, they're going to be like, what is this? And then the kids will be like, oh, that's my youth pastor. Man. He's so cool. He's taking me out for coffee. He loves Jesus. I had these dialogues. Now, I wanted it. I desired it. But you know what God said? You don't need that. What's wrong with you? You don't need that. But God, yes, I do. I need that. No, you don't, son. See, what I love about God, knowing that there's this connection, is that he gives you and I all that we need. The shepherd in the field gives the sheep everything they need. Gives them the water they need. Leads them to the pastures to feed. See, he meets their needs accordingly. The shepherd that I'm talking about, Jesus, today, is no different. He gives you and I all that we need, all that we need. That's what he is. There's that contentment, and we need to become content and okay, not having everything we desire, but having everything we need. I knew a person who one time built a new house. It's gorgeous. I'm like, hey, man, that's awesome. He goes, yeah. He goes, I don't even have furniture in half of it. He goes, we wanted this thing so bad. We built this big house. And he goes, I can't even put furniture in all the rooms. It was something I didn't need. I should have stayed where I was. See, there's a difference. In Jesus, he gives you and I everything we need. There will be a time when you need encouragement. And the Lord will encourage you, or he'll send someone to encourage you. There'll be a time when you're looking. This has happened to me before. I was given a bill at college. I'm like, I guess I'm going home. And then all of a sudden, God says, speaks to someone, puts something on someone's heart, and all of a sudden, it was taken care of. You feel lonely. And all of a sudden, you meet a new person. They become very good friends, and they're believers. You want to be evenly yoked with people. See, God gives you what you need. He gives you what you need. He in that covenant relationship, he gives you what you need. As we go on and we read verse 2 and 3, it says this. It says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He goes on and says this. It says, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. See, the good shepherd, when we look at these scriptures, it says that as my shepherd, he's going to lead me to a place of rest and refreshing. Anyone need rest and refreshing in the house today? See, it's in his presence, and he'll lead you to the place. We live busy lives, don't we? If you don't believe me, go on, you open up your calendar on your app right now. Some of us live by the minute, scheduled. It's busy. We live busy lives. And in the midst of the busyness and kids, and some have a lot of kids, and some who have a lot of kids want more kids, and they're busy. Some of us work 2 and 3 jobs. We're busy. We get burned out. We get tired. See, the shepherd says, I will lead you to a place where in me you will find rest and you will find refreshment. You will be refreshed. You will find it refreshing. And when I speak of rest and refreshing, I speak of a recharging, a giving of a fresh spirit man, in the sense where he's recharging our spirit man, he's recharging our minds, he's recharging our physical beings. He's giving us new strength, and he's bringing recovery to us. The Lord is my strength. He brings peace, and he brings joy. That's found in the shepherd. See, the sheep are taken to a place to be fed, to be refreshed, to rest. Do you know in the Bible, people are considered sheep, right? It's a symbolism that God uses throughout the word that we're sheep. I was hoping for something other than sheep. You know, like lions or hyenas or something really big and scary and strong with, you know, gnarly. Sheep. Sheep are dirty. They smell. They are not the sharpest tool in the shed in any way, shape, or form, right? And yet, God links the symbolism, but I think it's for a reason, saying just as the natural animal sheep needs a shepherd, my children, you need a shepherd, because you're not always going to make the right choice, or you're going to be placed in circumstances and situations where you need to understand something. You're going to work so hard, you're going to be tired and burned out. But in him, there's rest. In him, there's refreshing. He goes on and he says this. He says, he guides me. So not only does that, but he guides me. In other words, he begins to direct the motion and the position of my life. I don't know about you guys, but I always didn't have it together. And even now, sometimes I want to make choices and decisions that just after you think about it and you hear the voice of God, you're like, wow, that was even stupid to consider. Ever been there? Right? That was like the worst decision possible I was about to make, right? See, I need the guidance of God. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a pastor. I'm a friend. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm a child of God. And out of those 7 areas, I need a guide to help me to make sure that while functioning in whatever arena that I'm in at that time, that I'm doing it right. See, if I'm refreshed and my spirit man is strong and my physical man is strong, my mental man is strong, when I'm in those roles and I need to make decisions or I need to do things, I want to make sure that I have someone guiding me the right way. And I will know the voice of the guide because I'm connected to the guide in that relationship. And I'm living my spiritual disciplines out. I'm reading and I'm praying and I'm seeking the face of God. I'm getting a distinct understanding of the voice of God that is much louder than the voices around me. And so he says, not only will we be connected, not only will I meet all your needs accordingly, not only will I bring rest and refreshing to you. I will guide you as you walk through this thing called life. And in verse 4, as we read verse 4, he says this. He says, even though I walk through the valley, through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. See, we find protection in God. We find protection in God Almighty. Amen? Physical, spiritual, emotional protection. I was driving my dad's Jeep one day. Some of you were part of the church in the very beginning. I didn't want to burn my gas, and my dad had a really cool Jeep Cherokee that was red and had cool rims, and I had to go get something. We were going on a fishing trip, and so I had to go to the store and buy something. And so I took his car, and I was coming down 20, and I get to Amsdown 20, and this was right when seatbelts had just become a thing, a law, and so people still weren't wearing them, but they were wearing them, depending on what the day was, and I didn't have my seatbelt on, and as I'm going through the intersection of Amsdown 20, the light's green, and a guy comes through the red light full speed, and at 55 miles an hour, I hit the guy right between both doors. No brakes, no nothing. No seatbelt on, nothing. And here I am, and I'm holding the wheel so tight that I bent the wheel, and I bent the whole steering column down. I hit my head on the visor, didn't cut it. I walked away with no cuts, no scratches, no bruises, no nothing. Actually, to the point where the paramedic was mad and the cop was mad at me, because I'm like, I'm not leaving until I call my father. So he let me get my phone out of the truck there and make this phone call. And Pastor Brent, who was a pastor here before he retired, pulled up on the scene. He's like, you better let him call because he's not leaving. And so I had to call my father. The hand of God, they said that there's no way I should have walked out of that car wreck. Truck was totaled. Everything was about it. It was gone. Column, everything bent. They're like, you don't have a scratch, a cut, a bruise, nothing. Whiplash, nothing. I should not have walked out of that. But the hand of God was upon me that day, protecting me, watching over me. The hand of God, as a shepherd, watches over us. There are times when you try to go to make a decision, and all of a sudden, you hear that small, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't sign that. Don't sign that contract yet. Don't go in business with that person yet. See, that's the hand of God protecting. Don't get involved in that. That's a false prophet. That's not truth. It's twisted. Don't let that into your spirit, man. When you know the voice of God, because He's the shepherd in your life, He protects you, and you hear it, so you have the ability to make the right choice. Christian, you can come up. And so the shepherd is, we're in covenant relationship. The shepherd is finding us rest and refreshing, guidance, protection. And then let's read the last verse here, last two verses. He says this in 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Last verse. It says, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord, being our shepherd, also brings provision into our lives. Provision. He brings provision. We serve a God that brings provision. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I asked Christian earlier if we can go down memory lane and go back to the 80s and he could play Jehovah Jireh. Remember that song? You know what I'm talking, right? So some of the old church people are like, yes, Pastor, no, we just were kidding about it. It's a beautiful song. It's an amazing, powerful, words are powerful. Jehovah Jireh. We get the dancing going on. We get the Holy Ghost spinning going on up here. And next thing you know, Tammy's waving her tissues. Someone else is grabbing the box. And we're just having a Holy Ghost party up here. We're dancing and we're shouting. You know what I mean? It's all Jesus, really. Right? Right, brother? It's all Jesus. Jesus invites you to step into the door of salvation. He's always wooing you and I. He's knocking persistently and patiently waiting. It's done because he loves you and I. But in this thing called life, we need a shepherd. And so when you walk through that door and you connect with him, let me encourage you today to ask yourself the question, is Jesus my shepherd? Because in the shepherd of Jesus being the shepherd, or what I find in the shepherd of Jesus, is simply provision, protection, guidance, refreshment, or refreshing, rest. I find the necessities needed for me to be the best version of who God has called me to be. The best version of who God has called me to be, I find in Jesus. I don't find it in myself, I find it in him. So today, you know, I ask you about those five things in your life. Do you need to find rest? Physical, spiritual, emotional? Are you just burned out and you need to find rest? Do you need provision in some area of your life? Do you feel like you're out and you just feel like everything's warring at you and you're nervous and you need protection? Do you feel like you're just wandering and you're going, man, I don't know what to do next. I have no vision for what's ahead of me. I don't know what to do, where to go. I don't know what to say. You need guidance. Are one of these areas that David so beautifully wrote about in the 23rd Psalm, are some of these areas, or one of these areas, or all these areas, are you in need of today a touch from the Lord? It's going to start with you being honest about it. You're in the valley. You're like, man, it's tough down here. You're in the mountaintop, or you're climbing up or coming down. But you need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Can I pray for you? This is the culmination of the service. This is it. This is the most important thing today, right now. I know people say, oh, the worship is the most important. Oh, the preaching is the most important. No, the most important part of the service is when you respond to God. Because your life will be changed. It won't be the same. It won't be the same. So let's just stand to our feet. Christian's going to sing this song for a little bit here. Let's say 30 seconds, a minute. Let's take a minute or so. And then I'm going to invite you. I'm going to meet you right here. And I want to pray over you if you would allow me to today for those areas. Rest, refreshing, guidance, protection, provision, all found in the shepherd. Go ahead, Christian.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort. Always holds me close.
Yes. Hallelujah. So you see people making their way to the altar. I'd invite anyone to come down and would love to pray over you for today's message, what we've talked about. Come on down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a beautiful sight when people respond to the wooing of God's presence. Why don't you stretch your hands forth to everyone here today. And Christian, you can go ahead and sing real lightly while I pray. So Father, I thank you for every person here. Lord, every man and woman that are standing at this platform and this altar. Lord, you stirred something within them that gave them the realization that, Father, they need more of you as their shepherd. Father, we stand here today needing maybe one, two, or everything that was spoken about. And Lord, we see how you beautifully laid it out before us, what you, the shepherd, will do in our lives. That because of the covenant relationship that we have with you, God, that you're our God and we're your son and your daughter, that, Lord, you meet every need accordingly. Father, we realize that in you we find the rest and the refreshing that is needed. That, God, we walk through this place called earth, and, Lord, we need your guidance. Father, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Father, we need your protection. We need your comfort. God, we need your provision. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, every person standing here, as I stretch my hands forward, God, I would ask that you would begin to do a supernatural work. Father, supernaturally begin to touch them. Father, begin to give them the strength that is needed for those who feel weak. Father, begin to refresh, to bring life to those areas that may be dead. Father, I pray that you would begin to release more of your Holy Spirit into their everyday lives. Father, Lord, as they go from this place, in the natural, we have a GPS, we have Google Maps, we have all the other types of things. But God, let your Holy Spirit be our GPS. Lead us down the right paths. Help us to make the right choices and decisions in every aspect of our lives. Father, I pray that this day, that your hand of provision would be released, every need being met, financially, emotionally, physically, Father, relationally, Father, whatever the need may be, that today you open the doors of heaven and begin to release. Father, thank you that, Lord, we stand here together looking to you to shepherd us, to watch over us. Thank you for salvation, and thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I would ask that this day, as we leave this place, that your Spirit would go with us. Continue to be moving, continuing to bring back the word to remembrance of what was spoken today. Father, seal every seed that has been planted in these individuals here and those who are still in their seats. Father, seal, guard, and watch over those seeds that have been planted this day, that from those seeds,
there would be tremendous growth. There'd be tremendous connection to you, oh God. Father, we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Just want to thank you guys for being here today. I want to encourage you to check the website. There's so many things happening. There's a tremendous amount of things on the website that you can get involved in. New small groups starting soon. I think the one or two still have a couple spots left in those. The men's conferences and information's on there. We had some t-shirts and some different things from the women's conference. Ladies, stop by the table. I know they have some stuff they're selling. And so God bless you. Thank you for choosing to be with us today and worshiping together. I hope you are blessed. I hope God touched you in some way, shape, or form, and that he seals all that took place in you. And so until we meet again, either in a small group or next Sunday, have a wonderful week with your family and your friends. God bless you and safe travels. Mm-hmm.